Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studio today is the one, the only, Patrick Shane Hamilton.
Good morning, good morning.
Who he wishes Drew Brees would remember in his will.
Absolutely.
No gratitude, no gratitude.
Right. All these years.
That's what I'm saying. Wait for that, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Also joining us in the studio today is the one, the only, above 4 and under 6 foot, John Paul Ramos.
Good morning.
Hey, we just want to encourage you this morning to let you know God is in control. When you stand up for what's right, realize those who stand down for what's wrong are not going to be your friends. But know this, God is a friend of a man or a woman who stands up for what's right. Choose your friends carefully.
Amen.
We'll give a shout out this morning to the city streets of the Bronx. Good morning, Crystal. How are you doing this morning? Loving your testimonies on the news. Good morning, Jamie. And keep on going after God, man. Keep on going after God. Proud of you. I give a shout out this morning to the Granger Equipment Company down in Lakeland, Florida. The Lord is blessing. We just call in many contracts for your company down there. Give a shout out to Colorado this morning. We're excited about how God is drawing people to himself through Pastor Brett and Sharon Holderbaum. In the name of Jesus. Totally awesome to see what's happening there. Give a shout out this morning to Nikki and Jared. We are pumped. God is good. We are so excited about September the 1st. September the 1st. Pensacola Beach, be there. Morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios today, this morning, to encourage you, to inform you, to shine the light of God's Word on the situations that we're facing is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos.
Good morning.
Wow, you guys, I'm telling you what, it's just so good. You know, we had a chance to kind of get a breather, you know, after the VFN family gathering this weekend. It was just so powerful, you know, what God did. I mean, think about it. That as we entered in and began the VFN TV live broadcast around the world, God just kind of took it over and began to speak, and everything began to come together. Mm-hmm. You know, so many different, you know, precepts and things that God's been saying has begun to come together. We're beginning to see clearer. The more we seek God, the more we pray, the more we turn to Him and desire to understand, you know, what it's like in our times and what's happening. I mean, it's just unfolding, you know, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's totally amazing. I know that when we started hearing, oh my goodness, VFN TV, you got to see VFN TV. If you haven't seen it, it's available to you at VFNTV.com. You want to hear what God's saying. You want to hear what he's saying. And this is one thing he's saying right now. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. But the direction that his people are taking right now, despite all the songs and all the beauty and all the different things in our stuff and things that are tingling to our ears and eyes, he's disappointed. Mm. He's disappointed. Josiah said when he actually went in the Word of God, and I was listening this morning to VFN Radio where, you know, we were talking about how Diane Sawyer went out and they interviewed, you know, Christians coming out of the building, mm-hmm. and asking them things, you know, what's the first 4 books of the Bible? And You know, and she said, March.
March.
John, you know, and, you know, where's Jesus born? Jerusalem, you know, and they didn't know anything.
Right.
And they did a survey. And you got to see this on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com, click on the torch. But the ones who surveyed the highest about the things of God, you got to get this, John. The ones who knew more stuff about God and about his word were people who denied him, atheists and agnostics.
Wow.
And the interesting thing is this, is that God's people's not even worried about that. You know, they go on to begin to interview two leaders. I wouldn't call them pastors, but two leaders over two. One's a leader on a staff, and one's a leader over a what we would call in America a mega expression. And right. They both were atheists.
Wow.
They both were atheists. You can see this on the VFN Torch. Just type in the VFN Torch. What? No, type in you know, type in atheists. You know, type in, you know, agnostics, and realize that. And so he said this, you know, church, we got to wake up. We got to find out if the one who's leading us even knows God, you know. And, yeah. And so they said, you know, I once walked with God, never being interviewed with a little thin black strip across their eyeballs. Like, you're not going to know this. That's your pastor.
Right.
And he said that I mean, this is horrific. It's not funny, but it's just, are you serious? We're right. Not worried that the atheists who deny him know more about him, you know, and according to the interview. And so he says, you know, once walked with God, I believed in God and all that. But as I learned more, as I gained more knowledge,
that's, you know, dangerous.
I became, this is my words now, more puffed up in myself and figured I could do it myself. Mm-hmm. And he realized that he didn't believe God anymore. But this is the kicker, and that's his choice. You know, he and that's what he wants to do. But then he goes, but you know, this is my only occupation. I don't know anything else. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking, you know, this doesn't concern you, church. No, this VFN Radio is for the church, which is believers. It's not buildings we're talking to, and it's for the one who has gone astray. We want to encourage you to come back to God, because God will, you know, forgive you and restore you. Or the ones being drawn to God. That's who we're talking to. We're not talking to the world. Mm-hmm. You know, we although we're probably there listening. Mm-hmm. You know, don't take it personal. This is to the church. And so get you another job. Learn you another. There's no such thing. There's not skilled labor in the church. It's somebody who is following Jesus, the great shepherd. Mm-hmm. It's simple fishermen. It's people who hang out with God. They abide with God. They hear what he says, and they do it. Mm-hmm. Mm. You've gotten so smart that you're not even letting God in your church anymore.
Wow.
But the truth is, you're not that smart, because you can't do nothing else but be religious, because you could go out and go build something, go dig a ditch. Mm-hmm. I mean, and this is the shocker, because the church, the people, are not spending time with God, and they're not praying, and they're just looking to somebody else do that. You know, Moses, go to the mountaintop for us. We're terrified of the consequences. Mm-hmm. Because we're allowing our houses to be ruled by darkness when we go up to Obed-Edom's house up the street in a building and try to encounter God there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we put any time into it. They don't even know that he's not of God.
Wow.
They don't even know this man is an atheist. And he's over probably, I don't know, 1,200, 2,000 people who profess, you know, in the traditional type crowd. You probably got, you know, a remnant there somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Because the concept of that is just the crowd. You know, bring them all in, let them feed on the ones who do know God. You know, eat, sheep eat. You know, a sheep buffet. And this, you know, wolves coming in and just devouring the sheep. Probably, a lot of that. Mm-hmm. They need a lot of shepherds and something like that. You know, the church... You can protect the church in a crowd by just having a lot of shepherds watching over each individual true believer there. Mm-hmm. And so, but they don't even know. They don't even know that. You okay?
Yeah, I just ran over my toe.
Oh, is that right? You should have seen his face, man. I thought the rapture just happened or something. You know what I'm saying? Goodness. I'm like, you should have seen his face. It was amazing.
That was a big
he kept it all to himself. I was very impressed. Impressed. I was very, he was dying silently right there. Maybe he was praying. I don't know.
Way to go.
And so.
Thank you.
That's horrific. That's a, I mean, if God's anger is burning against us, and this is normally when God's anger is burning against his people is when God's people least think it could be burning against them. Because the second you don't think God can be upset with you, he's upset.
Wasn't that Saul's issue?
Yeah. That's
what do you mean? I'm just burning up some sacrifices here.
Right.
I think, like you told me.
Right. You didn't move fast enough, God. You should have moved faster. But this is an atheist. He's not only an atheist, not only he has no fear of this God who he denies, but he's in the name of God, he's teaching people about God. So what they did, they said, well, this is what these guys are saying. And he goes, it's really frustrating to me. It's like frustrating to you. Oh my goodness, Lord, help us. And so he said, you know, if I tell people how I really feel, I will lose a lot of my friends.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
I'm thinking, dude, what are you doing?
Obviously Jesus is not his friend.
Yeah, know? Jesus like, is yeah, not right. his friend, and you're of the devil. You don't have no friends in God. That's not a friend. You know, you're of the devil. You're held captive by the enemy. And the thing about this, if you're abiding with God, you know right up front that don't assume because somebody's standing in the front of your meeting and behind, you know, a coffee table, a podium, or a stage, if you don't know them, you got to know them by their fruit. You got to know them. Take time to know them. Realize Jesus allowed people to hang with them. If they running past you 90 miles an hour and saying, I don't have time for that, and you can't get close to them, you know, don't get all emotional, say, you know, he or she's not my friend. You know, think of something suspicious about it. Say, why can't I need to know you by your fruit. You know, get to deep. So no, I want to sit down and have a cup of coffee. I got to hear, do you know God?
Yeah, really.
And the dilemma in that is, and this is the doctrine that's been, you know, we're just going for it this morning, is that people have, these same people begin to preach a message that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That if you said a prayer, it doesn't matter if you become an atheist or not. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter whether you mislead God's people or not, that you're just having a few struggles in your life right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're struggling, all right. And so, you know, and so understanding that they once walked with God, and they went to the seminary, and and they began to become more learned and begin to read books, you know, about God. And next thing you know, they just denied him. But the doctrine would say, because one time they walked with God, then they still walk with him. They're just going to have like a lesser reward.
Now, that's not of the devil. My goodness.
That's just like the worst kind of lie of all is to say, you know, all your religious works are going to save you. And it doesn't matter how you talked about God and that you denied him in all your ways. But one time you actually years ago, when I was seven, I was at a camp, you know, and there was this evangelist that came and you had an authentic encounter with God.
Right.
But just like everybody else, when Jesus is walking in his ministry, he said at some point, even though you had an authentic encounter with him, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And everybody left. Everybody left. And you know his disciples are going, oh, we finally got a crowd. We finally got a crowd, Jesus. And it's just the 12 of us again. What have you done? He's like, Peter, hush. No, he didn't say that. Peter said, but you know, the mentality today in America would be, you know, that success is by the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that would mean the local, you know, rock star. You know, that means that, you know, these talent shows and all that, and that means they're successful.
Obviously,
you know, you get in the crowd. The truth is, it's like just whoever loves Jesus, you know, whoever knows him. And so that lie has been promulgated to where atheists now are leading God's people. And the question is it even God's people?
Right.
If it all applies. And I want to encourage you this morning. You can know God.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not yet, you know, clarified that you know him or not, or once you did know him, but you know, because you keep asking everybody, am I saved?
Yeah.
And those guys that promulgate that gospel is going like, sure. But let me tell you what they'll say on a television interview. I'll tell you, Because you're already gone. You've passed away, and you're at the judgment seat of Christ. So this life, you know, it's over for you. But let me tell you what that person will say. This is what they'll say. I've heard it. I've heard it myself, and I was dumbfounded. You know, if they stick with you to the end, if they even after you've done all those terrible things, and now they're interviewing you, and you are now standing at the throne of God, they just kind of stuck to the lie, you know?
Yeah.
But they say this, because this one particular guy, you know, was going to a particular expression that would promulgate that. And of course, every time you go, they tell you, sure, yeah, remember back in August of, go look at your certificate. Look at your certificate. You see your certificate?
Oh,
I think about Debbie and all the certificates.
Yeah.
She got like said, good morning, Debbie. Give a shout out there to Jersey. Patterson.
Yeah.
Patterson's in the house.
I mean, she had like plaques for days, and it was so cool. And so with that, you go back and they try to recall. They're telling you when you were saved. Let me tell you something. You know when you were saved. That's not a secret. I mean, you're going to know. Your spirit will bear witness with God's spirit that you are a son or a daughter of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when your spirit is going, uh-oh, something's not right, you know, that's God convicting you of where you're at. And if you go on in that direction, your heart will get harder and harder and harder and harder and more prideful and more prideful till one day you'll be just like this man who's over God's people, who's a self-professing atheist, denying the very God with the same mouth and the same heart he believed God with. Now he denies him with the very same mouth and same heart. If your mouth and your heart get you in,
right?
Don't you realize your mouth and your heart can get you out?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to encourage you this morning. You need to know him. You really need to know him. And he wants to know you. It's not some secret or something like that. I mean, you can know that you know him. And you'll desire to have an abiding relationship with him. Listen, when you are born again, just like a natural baby, you're hungry. You're hungry. If somebody's walking up to you and giving you things of God, and you're not, you say, I don't want it. I don't want it. Well, you're not hungry for God.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be really concerned, because if you're not hungry for, you know, the things of God, you know, taste and see the Lord is good, you got to find out you're either sick or lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you stay in that sick space too long, you're going to be lost.
That's right.
You know, led astray. And I want to encourage.
Either place is not good.
Yeah, it's not good at all. But understand this, that you can't hang around up under an atheist and think you're going to find God. You know what I'm saying? I go meet with the atheists once a week. And this is what they said. We focus on the parts of the Bible that we still believe in. Good works.
Wow.
That's why you see this justice movement. You see, because you have that lineage now of lostness, you know, talking about good works. And so they're just focusing on good. And the only good is God. But they're just denying the God that's good. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That is totally amazing. That's totally amazing.
Amazing.
But you can find out. You can actually see this interview yourself and on the VFN Torch. Just go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. We'll be right back.
I want to continue talking about the kingdom of God. He says, when you're born again, the very first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and that's the king's dominion in your life, taking over parts of your life. And then when he tells us to go out, he tells us all to go out. You don't pray if you should go. You need to pray if you should stay. And by the way, I can tell you what he's probably going to say right now.
Yeah.
Because think about it. He allowed the church, the original church, the original intent of God, in Jerusalem, because we have a tendency. We all have a tendency as human beings. Mm-hmm. We just kind of gravitate towards comfort and convenience and predictability and what makes our flesh feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is kind of hung around in Jerusalem. You know, they hung around Jerusalem. It's like, well, the goal, the original intent of Jesus is to go out into all the world, you know, Jerusalem, Judea. Hello, is anybody talking about Judea, right? I don't like Judea out there. I like Jerusalem. Yeah, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And so in that, you know, they just kept staying. And so God allowed persecution to come to the church. And how you know he allowed it is because they ran the church off, but for some reason they didn't run the apostles off. So the apostles still stayed in Jerusalem. If you're going to try to stop a nation, if you're going to try to stop something, you're going to go for the leadership. But the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And remember when Paul went back, he went back to the Christian Jews in Jerusalem, and asked for wisdom about how, what's happening out in the outskirts and what was going on in the Samaria and the uttermost parts.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, they had to be persecuted, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be persecuted to go out. I mean, that's how much God's into going out and spreading his kingdom. He says that when you go, when I send you out, I want you to preach the kingdom of God and preach that the kingdom is near you. And when they receive Jesus as their king, as their Lord, as their Savior, and they say, which means, see, I want him to be the Lord of my life, then at that point, the kingdom has expanded. It didn't expand when you built a wing on your building. It didn't expand when you actually got a new staff member. Mm-hmm. It didn't expand when, you know, you read more scripture that day. It expanded when you told somebody about the king and they said, oh my goodness. And they say, I know. And they receive him. And then the kingdom expanded from your heart to their heart. And now both of you guys are carrying the kingdom of God. We're like kingdom containers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the original intent. The original intent is for everybody to hear, everybody to be given an opportunity to receive the king and his kingdom and to begin to seek his kingdom. And then we're out of here because our king is coming back. King of kings and Lord of lords. And we're going to live with him forever. And if you're thinking it's about a building, if you're thinking it's about a stuff or the next song or your talent, you know, or your gift, listen, it's about you going to tell somebody about this King Jesus, that he loves them and he has a plan for their life and that he can forgive them and he can restore them and that there's hope. And understanding that you need to seek his ways. And I'm going to encourage you, even though that you've been around, you know, the church for many years, you know, you've been around other believers, you may need to go back and find out the original intent. You need to get discipled.
Right.
You need to get discipled. You need to begin to abide with God. And you can do that. You can go to iAbide and request a free plan. We have a simple plan for you. If you don't have one already, go to iabide.org and request it. Immediately, it will come to you. And we have some basic foundational tools for you. First of all, you can just start hanging out with God and abiding. We have even a video how to do it, you know, real mm-hmm. simple. But then there's also discipleship. There's some Foundations of Faith booklets that you can get that begins to build up. Because you've been around for a long time, you think you're supposed to know something. But there's people that graduated from high school that couldn't even read.
Mm-hmm.
So just because they went to high school don't mean they have an education. Just because you've been hanging around the church doesn't mean you've been discipled. And we're finding out over the years that people have hung around for years but don't even know the basic Jesus as Lord. Mm-hmm. And so be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go back and get the foundation again because I have not even thought about going out and advancing the kingdom of God. I never thought about rightly relating that I am the church and that I need to go be the church, and the word of God applies to me and not just to a building organization or that type of thing. So I want to encourage you, the kingdom of God, looking at the original intent of the church, God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason at all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studios for the next part of the first hour is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Well, I want to bring something up. It's been, Pat and I were talking about this, and we're going to introduce, to you, can you hear me? John.
Yes.
We won't tell you what we're saying. You couldn't hear me. Okay. take your earphones. You can hear us. Okay. Do you know our next step outpacks? You know, we just want to share it. We're talking about something. Pat and I were talking about something. Man, we got to share this. It's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
It is so funny. It's like, you know, the next step outbacks is a time where, you know, it's themed to Malachi 4, 5, and 6, you know, about turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And we, you know, 10 years, you know, we carried this prophecy and it still continues today, but now it's relational versus that the progressive, intense, prophecy, was delivered for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And you can find out more about that at Next Step Outback, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you can see some videos about it. But in that, you know, we do some different things to be able to build relationships. What are you looking at?
I think this is going somewhere.
I don't know. I can't look at Dante. He's gonna make me mess up. Okay. You know, we do different things. You know, we do. You know, the fathers and the sons would draw banners and do things to build relationships. We would teach them the Ten Commandments, and we would different things to build relationships. And one part of them is like the corporate challenges that you send. Your employees on to build relationships. Well, we did the same thing with fathers, with parents and their children. And some of them are, just different kind of games that are challenging and cause you to think and have to work together, that type of thing. One of the things we did is called a trust fall. Well, how did you know? And so now the trust fall is like a trust fall is like you stand up on a, we got to put this video, they can see this video on the torch. Yeah. Did you know we had a video of that?
No, I didn't.
What? And so, no, I'm just joking around.
Not.
Find it. No, I'm joking. And so it's standing 4 foot, you're 4 foot in the air. And 4 foot doesn't seem that high. But you understand, this is, John, it's 4 foot up. That's like twice. And I'm like, No, seriously. I mean, 4 foot up, and you're back. You're on the edge of this platform, and your back is facing the edge. And so you're going to fall off the platform backwards. But you're going to actually teach the people that are on the ground a way to catch you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll have people on both sides kind of like form a tunnel, and they'd stick their arms out, and you would fall backwards without looking into their arms. It's called a trust fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing how many parents, by the way, would tell their kids, you know, trust me. You just don't trust me. You just don't trust me. But when you saw parents trying to fall in their kids' arms, they didn't even trust their kids.
Nope.
And it's like, you know, that goes both ways, don't it? I mean, you're going to have to build a relationship with trust. And so, of course, you know, the leaders had to teach every time they would come to these events that nobody knew how to actually catch anybody. And so you had to teach them how to catch somebody who was trusting you.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, John is an excellent teacher, right?
Right.
And so he teaches, he's teaching these parents and their children, you know, this is a trust fall. You stand up here and they're looking at him. Of course, they always look at you and go, I don't think so. And he's telling them, I'm going to do this first. And he taught them how to catch him. Mm-hmm. So he could demonstrate how good his teaching is. And so a brave man, you know, a brave man stood up there, turned his back to these people who he just taught, crossed his arms like he was laying in a casket, which he did. He stands straight as a board.
Right.
And then he falls backwards. And they just stand there and watch him bounce on the ground.
He didn't catch him.
That was really funny.
No. And it's reported, I'm not going to talk about Pastor Cindy who reported it, that she said, you hit the ground, jumped back up and said, you didn't catch me.
Y'all supposed to catch me.
Now,
once they were all terrified.
Yes. Well, no, wait, I'm going to give you credit here. I'm going to give you credit now. that he realized his first lesson plan didn't work. So he didn't give up on teaching people what was right. He taught them again. You taught them again. And then he went right back up to these very people that dropped him and said, of course, this time he's looking back at God. And he falls into their arms and they catch him this time.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
How many people teach people the first time and they don't get it and they just give up?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have to be willing to teach in a way that people get it. Mm-hmm. And to we're willing to fall into the arms of our very own teachings.
Mm.
And to we're willing to be entrusted by to those who actually we taught to be trustworthy.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Because if we're not willing to fall into their arms like John was and be dropped, you know, and that happens when you're building relationships. You know, you're teaching people how to trust because we got to leave the next generation. We have to teach them how to catch people.
Yeah.
And Paul said, we got 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. See, a teacher will just kind of blow in, blow up, and blow out. They just like teaching, you know, and they're not connected in the sense of they won't fall in your arms.
Mm-hmm.
But a father understands that you're going to carry this thing on. And so he's willing, and mother, the Lord, they're so invested in you that they are willing to fall into the arms of their very own teachings to you and be caught because they need to know. Are you going to be able to catch people?
Mm-hmm.
Can you catch them when they fall? Will you catch them? Or will you just sit there and just look at them? I mean, there's like, eight people, six people just sitting there just staring at them on the ground.
Yes.
And it didn't even cross their mind, but that's today. So yeah, many people, you know, are fallen, and I just really admired you.
Mm-hmm.
One of which was Amber.
Oh, so my goodness.
Oh,
wow.
Shout out to Amber.
Yeah.
Shout out to Amber.
Yeah, give a shout out to Amber and Blake this morning. But, yeah, I just want to encourage you. This is so important that until you're ready to fall into the arms of your very own teachings, and sometimes you get dropped. But you're teaching people so they get it, not so you get a paycheck, like we talked about in the first part of this broadcast today. You're teaching them so they get it because you care about them, that you love them. You're like Josiah. You want the people to get it and have a relationship with God. And until you're ready to fall into the arms of your own teachings, until you're willing to trust your future with the very ones that you spoke into their lives, you're not ready yet.
Mm.
You're just one of the 10,000 teachers.
Right.
Mm. But Paul said there's 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. For I'm your father in Christ Jesus. Listen, it's time for the fathers and the mothers in the Lord to rise up and begin to love this next generation and teach them to the point that you're willing to fall into the arms of your own teachings. We'll be right back. You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words. You know, you could just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple of good friends that are buildings, you know, but the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God, that know ye not that Christ dwells in you. The hope of glory is inside of you. All these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and the Lord and all this wonderful stuff. And it's just fun. You know, you just look for a time to go there. But you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation, you're still in the same workplace. So you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs. And but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is. And he's called us to be the family of God.
And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through, but you're doing it outside of family, think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine. Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. If you had a, I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans?
Right.
And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland that was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other, and they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family-type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. But when we go back there, you remember when Pat and I had went back there, to the Lord sent us back to New Orleans, and we were talking to Leo DeJesus and Sandy, awesome man and woman of God. And Leo, if you're listening today, Sandy, if you're listening today, we love you. You guys are so encouraging to us. And he has this wonderful upper room in his house that overlooks the Mississippi, looking right on the city of New Orleans. It's the city he's in is Gretna. He's in Gretna, overlooking the Mississippi. And he said that, but the pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, they left, you know. And Jesus says that's a hireling. It's a hard thing. But I have empathy, though, for a leader of a traditional situation, because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to VFNfamily.org and find out more about it. Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, people are just so, you know, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you remember, dialing the phone?
Yeah.
The dial?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, the sixth number. It's like, oh, man. They have 3 8s or zeros in their number. It's like, oh, my goodness. You love those, like, 1 2 2 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about, you know, a lot of the generations listening. But listen, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up! You know?
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe, and you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text, the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can text VFN TV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes. And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed, and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads. And I don't know all the things going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah,
it's very cool. Just text VFNTV to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828. When you think communism, some people just think, oh, you know, you remember that commercial? I don't know. Wendy's did a commercial a long time ago, and it lasted, I think, 2 times. They took it off the air. They said it offended them. And they were having a fashion show. And in the fashion show, they had this lady come out. It was all like gray, like hospital looking gown thing or something. Just real drab.
Yeah.
And she said, he goes, and next day there, you know, and she comes out and she has this gray blah thing on, and her hair's back in, and then she goes out, and then he says, and now evening there, and then this, and she comes out with the same dress on with a flashlight. So many people think of communism in black and white terms. They think about it in the way people dress, that it's, since they've seen videos and history in black and white,
You know, they think that that's just some old historical thing. No, it's just the way the economy moves. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. You know, water more precious than gold. Think about it. Water, you know, it's just, can you imagine Jeremiah having a radio program? It's like, okay, get ready. Everything we've been telling you, we're going to be telling you, and understand this, that know that at any moment, we can cry uncle. At any moment, we could say mercy. We could call out for God's mercy, and we could turn back to him. And this plan, this strategically laid out progression of discipline that is coming our way, we can stop it. It's not, the only thing that's inevitable is heaven and hell. You know, that God will change things. He consider hardship as discipline. God's treating you as a son. We've been talking about, you know, what's going to begin to happen. What's happening in the world, and what's happening in economies, and now here we are right now at this point in this stage of the progression, where they're saying that a farmer right now is being interviewed, and you got to hear this and listen to what he says. He's saying this. He's saying because of the drought and the conditions of the weather in America. That he's saying that water is more precious than gold. Listen to this.
And I'm Charlene Israel.
And I'm Ephraim Graham. This summer continues to break heat records. A new report shows the Northeast experienced its warmest seven-month period since 1895. And it's not just the residents in the Northeast sweating it out. Farmers are feeling the impact of a record drought. And the government is taking action to help. It's the drought that never ends. Farmers say rains over the weekend did little to ease the stress of the heat and drought on their crops. And with little change in the weather predicted, they're expecting the worst come harvest time.
Think about it now. They're talking about that this thing is escalating. And if you haven't yet went to VFN TV and watched Prudent Preparation, I encourage you, be prepared. Take the moment. Take the time. And be prepared. If you're prepared, then and nothing happens, it's happening. So don't worry about it. It's going to happen. Right. But just imagine. Imagine if you're prepared and it doesn't happen, you're a wise person. Because the person who sees danger and prepares is a prudent person. The person who sees danger and does nothing is going to be destroyed. You know, and so I encourage you. Here we are right now, and they're saying, and you can see this on the VFN torch as they're grabbing the dry soil and they're beginning to show it. Listen up.
We had the table set for a really good crop, and the rain shut off.
This has been the hottest, driest summer that I can remember. Now, my father says that 1936 was drier, but then I was only 2 years old then.
1,500 counties in 32 states have been declared disaster areas.
Think about it, 1,500 counties and 32, we only have 50 states.
Wow.
1,500 counties and 32 states have declared disaster areas. Why? Because of the drought.
This means farmers and ranchers in those areas are eligible for federal aid. That includes low-interest emergency loans, 3.8 million acres more grazing land, and a grace period on insurance premiums due. The Obama administration is working to find even more ways to help farmers hit hard by the drought. The president authorized $30 million more in drought aid.
You think about it. We are literally right now, we are because of EPA regulations. You got to hear. I mean, you got to understand Jehoiakim. You know, Jehoiakim was set up by God to be able to bring oppression on God's people. And one of the things he did was he taxed the people and he made regulations and rules on them. And there's so many laws and bureaucracy, almost bureaucracy right now, being just everything you can imagine. And one of the things that the Environmental Protection Agency is saying, as this drought is hitting simultaneously, when this drought is hitting, they're telling farmers that they have to take 40% of the food and they have to turn it into fuel to go in the gas tanks of America.
Wow.
So while 1 in 6 people in America are starving, hungry, while hunger is just rampant across the world, we're taking 40% of our food and we're sticking it in the bellies of our cars. I mean, think about it. I mean, listen to this. This is what he's talking about. This is the condition. So now listen, I'm talking about that, how water is more precious than gold.
This is extraordinary land. There isn't any better land in the state of Colorado.
And for the last 57 years, Glenn Fritzler's family has grown corn on these 320 acres in Weld County. It's taken hard work, good soil, and one very important thing.
Water to us is actually more valuable than gold.
And if that's the case, farmers...
Isn't that amazing? Water to us is more valuable than gold. You know, Jared, you know, my son went to Haiti and spent about, I guess, six weeks there. And this is a huge contrast between the blessing that has been on America and for example, Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no running water in this particular area. And basically they drink bleach water all the time.
Mm.
But it just, we take for granted the fact that you can turn your faucet on in your house, your apartment, your home, whatever, and out of that faucet comes water, drinkable water that's not going to kill you or destroy you. And maybe you water your grass. Maybe you have, you know, you have a garden or grass and you water it. But without water, I don't know, the body, human body, I think it's made up of like 80% water.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start pulling water away from human beings, then your substance just goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, you have to have water for everything to work, including your body. And now he's saying right here, and you can see this on VFN Torch, that water is more precious than gold. And we are, our Environmental Protection Agency, our government, telling our farmers who grow food that you have to now turn 40% or more of your corn into ethanol to be able to go into the tanks of America, into our gas tanks, while people are starving. And it's like, we got to get a clue. This is not just, and God will balance the books on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen up.
8.
This has been an all hands on deck response. Obviously, we've got a lot more to do because a lot of folks are being affected by this.
The hardest hit crops are corn and soybean. Shortages are driving up prices, and so is ethanol production. The EPA requires ethanol to be added to gasoline. About 40% of U.S. corn is used to make ethanol. Lawmakers say that's causing higher prices. All this has a ripple effect on the meat industry. Farmers are cutting down their herds as the cost of grain to feed the animals rises.
Okay, we have a drought.
Mm.
Water is more precious than gold.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Jehoiakim, the leader, has been put in place, the set man by God, you know, and you got to hear from previous broadcasts, that our president is a set man, that God has set him in place.
Mm-hmm.
He's fulfilling a strategy, you know, whether he knows it or not,
that's
bringing oppression on America. Mm-hmm. And we need to pray for him and uphold him and figure out how God wants us to go through this. But this is the biggest thing the Lord wants us to do, is repent before God, that Jehoiakim has nothing to do with our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the fact that it's letting us know that, you know, we've been going the wrong way.
That's right.
And so now the corn is going in our gas tanks. The stuff that you eat is going in our gas tanks because a bureaucrat under Jehoiakim, and I'm talking about Jehoiakim, I'm talking about our president, President Barack Obama, and mm-hmm. Jehoiakim is a king. He's a king mm-hmm. over Israel. And so they're both, you know, leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But right. Jehoiakim was set in place by a strategy of God through Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we'll talk more about this. But for the purpose of oppressing God's people, who, by the way, were in rebellion to God.
Mm.
Maybe they had atheists, you know, leading them, I don't know. And so this was happening in America's various. And so now, not only are the corn shortages happening because of the drought, now, by the way, your beef is going down, where you get your hamburgers from, by the way, America. That the beef production's going down because they can't feed the cows, because the cows, you know, eat corn. Listen up.
We're going to produce in the U.S. Roughly a billion fewer pounds of beef. That's about a 4% decline in
a billion pounds
wow.
less of beef.
Mm.
What is it, you know? you always wonder sometimes. You're like, well, what's it going to take? You
know? Yeah, right.
I mean, what is it going to take?
What's bottom, right?
It, when water is more precious than gold, when, you know, you're going to produce a billion pounds less of beef, you know, that your economies are being hit, your borders are being infiltrated, your churches, some of the churches are publicly being professing. God has exposed that to let us know that there's atheists professing to be pastors over people who don't even know that March is a month, not a book in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Listen up.
2012 versus last year.
And as farmers in every industry are forced to pay more and produce less, consumers will see a price increase at the grocery store.
Okay, now here we go. The next byproduct of this is that when you go to the store to get your whatever, the food prices are going to go up. Not only is there a shortage in food, because yes, you put the, they forced the farmer to put 40% of what he grew in the tank of the car that drove you to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, not only is a billion pounds less of beef on that grocery store shelf, but now the very food that's on the shelves is going to cost you more. Listen up.
The cost of beef, dairy, chicken, and bakery products are all expected to rise.
We have to understand this. This is a sign. You know, this is a sign. When things like this happen, you don't just put your head between your legs and kiss things goodbye. You say, God, what have we done?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What have we done? Going back to the original intent of the church. I mean, it's not going to be popular when you stand up for God when others are standing down against God. Mm. It's not going to be popular when you read from the Word of God when other people are preaching from their ideas, concepts, philosophies, and traditions. Mm-hmm. But, is, you know, do you want to be popular or powerful? Do you want to have this country? Do we want to keep this country or not? You know, God has given us this country. You know, God has blessed us with this country that we can, if we squandered our freedom. We just squandered our freedom when we had the First Amendment that said you can preach Jesus anyhow, anyway, anywhere, you know, and all of a sudden all we did was build bigger houses and more stuff and demanded more, and here we're getting paid 360% more than like 18, 20, 28% of the world's poor. We're like the wealthiest nation there ever was, you know, from all times. And yet we squandered this First Amendment right given to us that nobody can stop us from preaching the gospel except us.
Mm-hmm.
And now it looks like if we don't turn around, the very Constitution that God allowed to happen, which is the longest living constitution in the history of the world, by the way, even though we're a young country.
Wow.
That it could just change overnight. When it changes overnight, you're going to be like Dudemeyer Dudeman sneaking around with Bibles, trying to preach the gospel behind some building somewhere, or, you know, in some cave somewhere, or some secret place, instead of just being boldly and standing up in stadiums and declaring. And this is what I believe. This, because the Lord has shown me personally some things, and some others have seen it, I believe that this humble is going to be there's a humbling process coming, but I believe the church is going to arise for its greatest day. But you know, why not do it now? Why does it have to get so, you know, horrific?
Sure.
You know, whether America lives or dies, the church will live forever. The kingdom
this
will.
True.
And so here we are. We're putting 40% of our food while people starve in our cars, while there's plenty of fuel to be able to run the cars.
Mm.
I mean, this doesn't work. You can't take, can you imagine taking 40% of the food off your kid's plate?
Wow.
And throwing it into your, what are those little cracker box looking cars? What are they called? Humvee. The Humvee.
Those big ones?
Yeah, it's like a big cracker box.
Big
going
box.
Over,
yeah.
A square little box, you know. How much money did you pay for that? and so that takes a lot of gas.
Yeah.
And so can you imagine taking 40% of your kid's food and throwing it in your Humvee?
Mm.
Well, the question that we always say, and we'll be talking more about this in the extra hour, is, well, it's the government's fault. It's the government's fault. You know, if I was the president, I would do differently. But the truth is, you know, in the days of monarchies, the king could make these rules and determine what was going to happen, and they could change things overnight. Well, we don't have a monarchy where a king rules. We have a republic, government, form of government, which means it's representative government. In the context of that, we all participate in this democracy, but it's not a democratic government. And so with that, it is a government by the people and for the people. And mm-hmm. so what happens is we are actually the kings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's just a whole bunch of kings. And we're going to determine which way our country goes. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Christian, not only are you considered a king that can issue an edict like everybody else is an American citizen, you can choose who you want to rule your land mm-hmm. because you're the leader. But you also are under the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is the kings that King Jesus is over? It's you. You're a king and a priest.
That's right.
And so now you have your kingship in the land of America, but you also are a king in the kingdom of God. And so the spiritual realm and the natural realm, I think that you're without excuse, you know, if you don't understand right. that you are like Josiah, and you can either rip your clothes and begin to change the leadership of your kingdom, sir, your kingdom, man, ma'am, or you can point at the people that you hired mm-hmm. and act like they're the ones running your business down, when the truth is they have to come to you, even with $1 billion. This is the most expensive presidential election that's ever happened in the history of right. America.
Wow.
But they're spending all that money because they have to go to you because you're a king.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a lot of kings, so you're going to have to work together. But understand this, that you're going to determine who you're going to hire to run your kingdom. And you can't complain. If the Environmental Protection Agency, sir, that's part of a decision that our present ruler is making to be able to put into the cars, the belly of the cars instead of the belly of the people, and you're not doing anything about that, you don't think that God's going to hold us accountable for that, for your kingdom, mm-hmm. what's happening in your kingdom? We got to quit pointing at government. We are, it's a government by the people and for the people. They serve if we elect them. We choose them to serve. You know, we're not supporting any candidate. We're supporting God and God's ways of doing things as the church. We have to rise up to this occasion and say, you know what? You know, this is not right. You should not put 40% of the food in the bellies of the car. I don't care if it's got a black smoke ring coming out the back of your Humvee. Don't right. put the kids' food in your car tank. Stop driving your car.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can do that. We sure. can do that. We can stand up and say, listen, you know, you're an atheist. I don't care what you thought. You're not going to be leading this flock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we start putting people out from amongst us. You know, that Paul warned us about, that are wolves in sheep's clothing.
Right.
They start sending them away and begin to restructure, you know, our country by falling to our knees and crying out to God for mercy. And he says, no one cries for justice. We can cry for justice if we go to the cross and say, Lord, first, forgive me for my sins and what mm-hmm. I've done wrong, you know, and help me to be right before you, and let God's justice be served, but served on Jesus Christ, on the cross. And then by faith in that finished work of crisis and justice, begin to let everybody else know that justice can be served for them at the cross. But if they don't choose the cross, God's gavel will land on this country.
That's right.
That is your kingdom. Well, we're coming to the end of our first hour. Be encouraged, kings. God has empowered you and given you the ability to be able to rule well with the word of God. God bless, and you can see more on the VFNTV.com. Don't forget about the VFN Torch. Also, for the extra hour, join us in a few moments on VFN Radio. God bless.